Well, welcome back, everybody. And this is Radio Entrepreneurs, the show that is always streaming stories of entrepreneurship and leadership and how people are dealing with this new economy. Very excited with our relationship with Landau and Anastasi. This is a sponsor of Radio Entrepreneurs and one of our reporters. And we have a partner from the show, Keith Noe. And he's brought on with him Tom Apprentice, Senior Engineer of Advanced Development at ITW Electronic Assembly Equipment. Wow, that is a mouthful. So welcome, Keith. And why don't you introduce us to the subject and to your client?
Sure. I had the privilege of first meeting Tom back in 2000 when I joined a company called Cookson Electronics. Tom was then probably in the similar role, Senior Engineer, for a company called Speedline that has gone through multiple iterations. So Tom and I have had the privilege of working together for the past 20 years. Tom at first was managing Speedline at the time. They're dispensing patents in their dispensing patent portfolio and was a key inventor on a lot of their groundbreaking technologies that really revolutionized the printed circuit board assembly equipment arena. I've had a great working relationship with Tom over the past 20 years through they were purchased by a capital group in New York City for a few years and then were sold to Illinois Tool Works or ITW and probably around 2008, right, Tom? Somewhere around there. 2007.
I don't have the dates right, but something like that.
Thankfully, I went from working for Cookson Electronics to Landau and Anastasi, and it was a seamless transfer. The work followed me to Landau, and along with my partner Tom Sullivan, we've enjoyed a terrific working relationship with Illinois Tool Works and really, I hope, help them gain a competitive advantage in the marketplace with their products and services that they provide to the equipment assembly industry.
Well, you bring me back when you talk about, you know, printed circuit boards. I think it was 1982. I worked on a company, a client called Dynapert that used to make printed circuit boards. They don't exist anymore. I don't know if you remember that name. I go that far back, but it was a quite an interesting industry even back then. Things, I'm sure, have changed.
Well, that's a good example of how the industry has evolved from one thing to another. Dynapert started with insertion machines for shoelaces, I think, and then they went to the through-hole industry.
They were in the old shoe machinery factories, you know, in northern Massachusetts, right? And that's it. Sort of evolved into that. That is correct. It was they were very nice people.
An excellent example of the way industry needs to change and adapt as things change around us.
Well, that's correct. So why don't you bring us up to date about where you're at today? Because with COVID and everything in the industry, I'm sure things are still changing.
Things are. I've been working from home much of this period of time, but in the office when I need to be for lab work. Been at the same company for 26 years, and I have a stack of business cards as the names have changed from one business to another. But it's all the same company and it's all the same staff, although even that's morphed a little bit over time. What Keith was saying about this longstanding relationship, I think is part of what has made this work so well is that he knows our equipment in some cases as well as our employees, so that when we're in the process of innovation, he's part of that team. He's not just someone we call when we're all done with the innovation. He's been included in that.
Well, you're not just an attorney. You also have a background, a technical background that makes it good for you. Isn't that true, Keith?
Yes, I went to Worcester Polytech, and I have a mechanical engineering background. And Tom's spot on. I mean, I know quite a bit about dispensers and stencil printers and wave soldering and things I never thought I'd ever learn or understand in my life. And it's really that longevity that has, and it's, I think it, Tom, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think because ITW now oversees the operation of Tom's business unit, they can rely on Tom and I, because really we, not only do we understand our equipment, we also understand our competitors. We understand, you know, like if we have to do a landscape search to see if new technology can be available to implement without running a risk of, you know, a lawsuit for patent infringement. Tom and I have pretty much seen everything through development of our, not only our own products, but our competitors' products.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think that's very interesting. But again, your law firm is quite unique to the practice of law, and that you really are technical experts, not just attorneys as well. And I would assume that helps in terms of really partnering with your clients and understanding their business needs.
Absolutely. We are a full range law firm, an IP boutique, but a fairly substantial boutique. We have roughly 35 professionals. I've been on our firm's management committee the last 6 years, and we have a very significant, what we call our ECS practice group, electronics and computer science, under which I'm kind of an honorary member as a mechanical background, but you know, we have to have the foundational ability to be able to understand our clients, or at least have the ability to learn from our clients what their products, technologies involve, and how to best capture those in a patent, which Tom can attest is sometimes not easy. You know, our part of our mission is to take complex ideas and to make them read so that a layman can understand them. And
because
you and a judge, a jury, you know, if they're overly complex and they're worded overly complexly, then you lose people, and you need to be able to break it down so that you know, lay people and judges and juries can understand and read a claim. And that's one of the things that I've enjoyed watching Tom over the years. He has become an expert in claim drafting. And for the audience, claims are the part of the patent application that describe the meets and bounds of the invention. And they're usually at the end of an application. And really, that's where your money's made in drafting applications, is crafting the claims and making them so that they cover your invention, but also they're broad enough so that they can cover competitors' design arounds. So we're traveling to Northern Ohio, and we were there for the purpose of, our company at the time was, had received cease and desist letters from a major competitor. And we flew out there. We had a team of probably seven people, and we flew out there to negotiate a settlement. Well, when we get there, we realized very quickly that we're not going to be able to settle this thing. So we ended up really delaying them and stalling them so that our litigation team back in Boston could prepare and file a complaint, what's called a declaratory judgment action, to declare the competitor's patent invalid. And on the way to the courthouse, the paralegal that was going to file the complaint tripped over a curb and broke her leg. And so we're sitting there at the meeting, and it we're just stalling for no, you know, just making stuff up, just to delay and stall and say, well, we're thinking, we're talking about this. And then finally we got the word that the lawsuit was on file, and we said, hey, listen, we just sued you, so the meeting's over.
And I guess that every time you use that attorney after that, you used to look at her like the Broadway play and say, break a leg.
Exactly. And Tom, Tom wasn't really involved in litigation a lot, so I'm sure he had a lot of wonderment as to what was going on and what we were doing and what the strategy was. I don't even know if you knew we were filing a lawsuit at the time.
Well, I have to tell you, some of my favorite work has been, not since I'm not an attorney, is when I do expert witnessing and on organizations or partnerships on things like that. I find that really to be a lot of fun. It's great to be questioned by attorneys. So, you know, I know, developing new products, patents are important. Has the current economy changed your ability to be able to do that efficiently?
Yes. Larger companies, you really use their leverage to drive down the costs of what patents cost. And so we are constantly, improving our processes so that we can be more efficient and write applications in a cost-efficient manner, still providing the high quality that everyone, demands, and really it's a given. But we need to be sufficiently nimble to be able to handle complex things and still deliver a great product on time and within budget. And so those are challenges that existed before COVID. Now that we're remote, they've become even greater, because one of the things that our firm has found challenging is training young people. There's nothing like sitting next to someone and reviewing a document, reviewing claims, and going through your thought process so that you can kind of mentor and teach and guide them to adopt your process in drafting. And that's been a big challenge in this environment. One that we're seeing over time. At first we weren't, it was hard to notice, but now it is easier to notice.
Well, always great having you on. We're speaking with Keith Noe, partner at Lando and Anastasi, and Tom Prentice, senior engineer at Advanced Development, ITW. Gentlemen, I'll start with you, Tom. If someone wants to find you, how would they do that?
My work email is soon to go away because I'm about to be retired. So a personal email of tprentice58@gmail.com is the best way to get in touch with me.
gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. And Keith, how would people find you? I'm just changing on my sheet.
Sure. The good news is Tom's going to be a contractor for a while, so I'll be working with Tom as long as he can stand contracting. So I've been secretly at ITW headquarters delaying his retirement, so my plan is working brilliantly. I can be reached at knoe@lalaw.com, knoe@lalaw.com. If you Google LA Law, you'll find my profile on our webpage. Pretty easy to find me, I think.
I disagree with you because I did the LA Law thing, and you and William Shatner came up, and I couldn't figure out who was who.
Exactly.
I want to thank you for being on the show today, and congratulations on your pending retirement. I don't know if there's such a thing in today's world. So you could be a consultant for the next 15 to 20 years. So I wish you luck in whatever you do.
We can only hope. Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. And remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And, I'm a big fan of LA Law. And it was one of the first for me. And we're going to sign off, and we'll be right back with more stories after this break.